Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Seeking What They Sought. I'm one of your hosts, Anthony Leiter, and welcome to the party. So this is season two, and we are super, super stoked to be back. I have so much I'm excited about, and we have so much to share with you guys. But first, in this episode, we actually take a moment to pause. We sit down and we catch each other up with what's been going on in our lives the past 6 months. We sort of talk about where we've all been and why we haven't been recording episodes this entire time. But we also pause and we ask the question, how are our hearts doing? Where are we at with our journey with God? And then at the very end, we talk about some of the things we're really, really excited about coming into season two. So we're so grateful to all of you guys who've been listening. Thank you so much for supporting us and for your patience waiting for season two. We know it's been a little bit of a wait, but we have a lot in the pipeline right now. We're super, super stoked about a ton of things in the future. So stick with us. We're really grateful. And let's dive into this episode of Seeking What They Sought.
Guys, I have a great story for you right now, a church sign story. So you guys may know that I live closer to another Adventist church than I do to my own church that I pastor. And they have a church sign outside, you know, with the little letters that they can put in there so they can make up their own messages. Here's what it said. You guys ready? Are you wrinkled with burdens? Come inside for a faith lift.
Fantastic.
I can't tell if that's genius or the person writing the sign just has a lisp.
Oh, true. That's amazing.
I didn't realize Mike Tyson was an Adventist pastor.
Oh. Well played.
Talk your ear off.
Oh. This is why we have Eric on this time.
Yeah. So real quick, we're starting season two here, and we wanted to have Eric in on this. But yeah, why don't we just introduce ourselves? So I'm Jesse. I'm the one who drove by that terrible sign. I pastor at a church called North Hill Adventist Fellowship in Edgewood, Washington.
My name is Sean Lenhoff, and I'm going on 5 years at San Gabriel Academy. I can't really believe it's been 5 years since we all...
I'm surprised they've actually kept you that long.
You know, it's literally only because of my wife and that she's a valuable asset, and it's like, well, if they get rid of me, then they might risk losing her.
Right,
and too so high risk. I think
the best job security right there.
I think that's it. And now I've got
just having a good wife,
and now I've got a child, so I can always use the line. Well, but I've got a child.
Mm-hmm. You can't fire me. Like you'd be hurting a child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, beautiful. Yeah, I've been at that school. This is my fifth year, and that's in Southern California. And yeah, it's been good.
So I'm Eric Edstrom, and I'm a filmmaker in Southern California, and I'm normally just listening to you guys
in the background
talking stupid stuff and trying to cut it down to a reasonable length.
If you guys don't know, Eric edits all of our stuff, and he's
our producer.
He will very often come back to us with, why in the world is it this long?
Yeah,
like why did you record for 2 hours? So if you hear anything, it's because Eric edited it
the 40-minute episodes were really like 140, and Eric cut out 100 minutes.
It's like going from Lord of the Rings Extended Edition down to like
a TV show. Yeah.
Except that none of it is good. So.
Except it's like The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings.
At least Lord of the Rings is good. So.
Oh, my word. Fantastic.
Anthony, how about you?
So my name is Anthony Leiter, and I was a youth pastor in Southern California, and recently there's been a little transition in my life. I'm actually at seminary right now, so I'm at the Theological Seminary in Berrien Springs, Michigan, and I am no longer a pastor of the youths. I spend my days in class and in the snow. So,
see, Anthony, first off, it's still summer, and
that's
second,
a good point.
Well, why are you telling people that you're in seminary? You were fired for embezzlement and fraud.
So here's the situation. What I had to find some sort of out, and that was my no. I loved my time at La Sierra, and Jesse, I have no rebuttal to you except no. The word no is my rebuttal to
you. That seems to be good enough. Well, yeah, it's been kind of a crazy time for us, all of us, really. And we wanted to update everybody because honestly, like, you've wanted nothing more this entire time than to be updated about our lives. We matter pretty much more than anyone else that you love. Mm-hmm. So obviously, we wanted to make sure that we did our duty and updated you. And so, but yeah, why don't we, Sean, what's been happening in your life?
Well, I mean, our last two episodes, or at least one episode, we talked about the fact that Eric and I both had kids. And so my kid was born in January. So he's 7 months old now, which is kind of crazy that it's been already 7 months. Nice. And Eric, how old is Grayson now?
He is 5 months, so 2 months younger than your son, but he's also twice the man that your son will ever be.
Just without even
already.
A beat. Without a beat.
Baby it, shade.
I'm just joking.
We're gonna start
gonna
baby
buddies.
Shade.
We need to always have Eric on. He's element X.
See, what you don't know is that someday, like, it's going to be an Isaac Ishmael situation where just, like, in 200 years, there's going to be, like, horrible family rips. It's going to be the McCoys.
The clan of Lenhoff.
Hatfields and McCoys. It's going to be that.
But
because
Jesse,
of the thing you just said.
Jesse, this earth won't be around that long, so why does it matter?
True. I'm sorry. That's I'm true. Not a good Adventist.
So, no. Yeah, that's been my life for the last 7 months. It's been amazing, but it's also the busiest I've ever been. Especially
Sean, what has been the most surprising thing about having a child? And
that's a good question.
Not that somehow it's cute, even though you had it. but like, what's been the most surprising thing?
Probably the most surprising is looking back on being able to deal with things when you have no sleep, and just being amazed that you survive and actually get things done. Like, at the start, it was to the point where you were so sleep deprived where there were times I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would cradle a pillow. Rochelle would, you know, see this. And you guys know, because you know my sleep escapades. Mm-hmm. So you're not too surprised by this. But I would get up. I'd be doing a sleep hallucination where I thought I was holding Olin, but I'd be cradling a pillow. And Rochelle would just be like, what are you doing? And I'd be like completely normal. Like, oh, I'm just rocking Olin back to sleep. And so the sleep hallucinations are a real thing. And so,
for most people who have zero idea that this would ever happen, in college, Sean and I roomed together. And
are you about to tell the Mildegode story?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so good. I'm on the top bunk, and Sean is on the bunk below. He would always go to bed before me, and so I'm in the top bunk, and I just wanted to mess with him. That was pretty much the entirety of our relationship, and has been ever since.
Still is.
And so I lean over and I start pulling. I'm like on the top bunk, and I start pulling the pillow out below his head. And he's just like, he's frustrated, and he's finally, after long enough
muttering,
he just gives the pillow to me. He wasn't awake. He was like half asleep, and finally he just reaches out with the pillow and says, "Here." He gives it to me, and I think in his like half asleep stage, he's like, "This is the only way to solve what's happening. I need to give him the pillow."
The white flag. Yeah.
Oh, but then, yeah, another time I was asleep or I'm in bed and I just hear Sean sleep talking, and I just hear him say, "Where's Mildegode?" I don't know who Mildegode is, but
nobody does. Sean,
it's one of the great mysteries of our time.
To this day, we're still trying to figure out who Mildegode is.
It's like the Bigfoot of Sean's.
Is Mildegode a person or a place?
Or a thing?
Ooh.
Both.
Ooh.
Wow.
All of the above.
That's a Christopher Nolan movie in a sentence.
So that is his next movie.
We just find out it's called
Mildegode. All caps.
Eric,
I'd watch that.
You're a new father too. What's that been like?
It's less different than I thought it'd be. I was expecting like this big, I don't know, just like life change where like everything's different. But I mean, it's basically the same, except I change diapers and have this cute baby with me like everywhere.
I agree with Eric that it doesn't change much. Like, you're still who you are, and we still have similar routines, but it also makes you think about being more intentional with certain other areas. So like, what are we going to watch? What are we going to read? What are ways we want to influence him? And what are things?
Family Guy is the best show for children.
Obviously, because it's about family.
All my parenting advice.
Yeah, all parenting advice. It's all good.
Grayson, who lets you back in the house?
Oh man, that was our teenage years. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Amazing.
Eric, so many of you have probably heard our other episodes where we will, I think our first episode, we talked about how we have a 5-time Emmy award winning producer. That's a real thing. Mm-hmm. Eric has won 5 Emmys.
He would never tell
for
you that.
A show called Life on the Line, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a show. It's on PBS, so nobody really watches it, but it's
your grandma watches it.
Got him.
No, actually, it's super cool. I've seen, I don't have PBS down there, and your dad gave me a DVD, Eric. I don't even have a DVD player anymore. I'm a millennial. My computer doesn't even have a CD player,
is a DVD?
So I haven't been able to watch it. But I have seen the trailer, and it's voiced. The narration is by who again?
Lisa Ling. She has
a
show
her,
on
yeah.
CNN called This Is Life with Lisa Ling. Mm. She's done a lot of stuff. She was a host on The View, but yeah, she does the narration for the show. It's like 30-minute documentaries, each one's separate, but it's supposed to be on Amazon Prime in the next few weeks. So.
What?
That's awesome. Nice. Okay, well, so it's called Life on the Line. So if anybody wants to watch that,
yeah, not starring John Travolta, the straight.
Oh, is there actually a movie?
Movie.
<called that?
laughs> But if you scroll down on Google a little bit, you'll find us.
Gotcha.
Or just go to lifeonline.tv. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
Ooh, there you go. Nice. Okay. Well, but what's crazy is, and then we've made up, you know, random, ridiculous things like other awards that you've won 5 times. But we have to update it, don't we?
Yeah. Like I said, now it's 6 total.
You won a 6th Emmy.
This guy, wow.
Only one more?
What an underachiever.
You pretty much failed. I mean, 5 the first time and then 1 the second time. I mean, how far did it fall?
Well, you know, there's always regression in a career, so
it's true. Make your big
at 26, hit. 26. At 26 years old, you've already regressed.
He's peaked
to the point of no return.
He's peaked at 26.
But that's so cool, man. That's genuinely awesome.
No,
and,
thanks.
I mean, it's not as cool as the participation award I won for playing in YMCA soccer when I was like 7. But you know, I mean, it's a close second to that. So good job.
Yeah, it's a close second. Just like you got second place.
I love that he just Eric and Hayes.
Anthony.
Eric and
actually,
hang.
Real quick, why don't I update all of you on my life? Because obviously,
because no one cares,
life,
Jesse.
Yeah. So
my life.
Anthony, what are you
let's
doing?
Forget that. Yeah, Anthony, what's going on?
No, it's screw okay.
No,
all of
no,
you.
No, it's okay.
How
we can
do we
turn
mute
it on,
Jesse?
I can mute him in editing.
Just these big spaces just, where I'm not even
no,
talking.
No, just cut him out completely.
So
Jesse,
yeah, so it's been I've had a crazy summer. It's been it's crazier than having a child or anything. Our church went through a remodel. We painted the back wall black, so
it's a good color.
It looks like you just walk in and you're just sucked into a void of nothingness,
so Anthony can blend
which
in.
Is we have to have special lights for Anthony. Mm.
Black lights.
Yeah, that's not what those are.
That's
but yeah, okay.
I'll accept that. I'm gonna let that roll. I'm gonna roll right off. Roll right off my beautiful chocolate skin.
So Jesse, a serious question about the church remodel. Why should the church be putting their money towards remodeling instead of like ministry?
Oh,
ooh,
that's a great question.
Well, pretty much because the only thing that actually matters
this isn't
in church
be serious.
Is how it looks. It's not what we do.
There you go.
Which
you heard
which
it here
is
first.
Weirdly, well, that was a joke, which is weirdly a whole nother thing of like a actual correlation to a real way we've lived, which is how I look on the outside doesn't really correlate to who I. Okay, anyways.
Dang. No, that's good. That's deep.
Deep.
So
yeah, we can
yeah,
go there.
I'm a pastor, guys. It happens. No, here's why. I think that the way a church looks says something about the church. So if you are a church that's in any way desiring for people to come from outside in, mm-hmm. you know, we're not just trying to be insular and reach people that we already have, then we have to recognize that the way what someone walks into is going to give them perceptions about what the church is about already. Mm-hmm. And so when a church doesn't look like the message you are trying to state, then it just kind of creates this weird dissonance. So the stuff we had before, mm-hmm. like the way the church looked before wasn't bad, but with me myself coming in and some changes that we've made to the church, it just didn't resonate with the message that we're trying to put across. So you know, mm-hmm. you sometimes you'll walk into that where you walk into a church and it's just like this church acts like they want to be really friendly, but you know, they have no signage, you know, they have no way of like me knowing as a visitor coming in where I'm going, you know, that tells me that they don't really care about me, you know? So that's just one way that like design or the way a place looks. For instance, if we're trying to be a modern contemporary church that's speaking to our culture today, then it's probably not super helpful for our church to look like it's straight out of the 1950s. You know, and that's not, that wasn't my circumstance, but just in general, you know, but then it's cool. Like there are some ironic things, not ironic, but like down in Portland, there's a church, it's called Bridgetown, and they meet in, this place called First Baptist Church. And it was, it's like the first church that was built in Portland. And so, I mean, it's so cool because they're so forward, not like forward thinking, but really good theology. And yet they meet in this super old building. So it's like, it's not like you have to have the newest and best all the time, but you have to be intentional about the message you're sending. So that's just kind of my thoughts.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Anthony, how about you? What's your life been like these last few decades? Sorry, I mean months.
These last few decades? I have
just tell us your entire life story.
I have not even been alive for a few. Almost. I'm a couple years short of 30 now, so that's weird. That's a weird thing, actually, at this point.
Halfway to 60.
Yeah. That's one way to put it.
Oh, that's gross. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Yeah.
I'm going to be halfway to 54 soon, so.
Wow. You sure are old.
I'm pretty much already on my way out.
You should just retire now.
Life is pretty much over.
I feel like you're already 26.
I feel like the conclusion of this conversation
not just already.
We've all peaked and we should just give up and that's the end.
Exactly. Beautiful.
Oh my word. No, yeah, life has been kind of a roller coaster for me, moving away from being youth pastor at La Sierra to going to seminary. That happened this summer. Been kind of a whirlwind. It was a little sooner than I had expected, as I was at La Sierra for 2 years, and my conference was like, yo, it's time. And I was like, is it time? And they're like, did he just say it's time? We didn't have a lot of fun
in the desert. I saw that coming from miles away as soon as you got into that.
Yeah.
If anybody doesn't know what that is, VeggieTales, you just totally missed out. I mean, my goodness. That was that. What was it? Josh?
I forgot the name of that episode.
Josh and the Big Wall or something?
Yeah. Josh and the Big Wall.
That was the French peas.
The French peas
on the wall. Yeah.
It's so like the good. Weird gloop, the purple gloop they would throw on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the slushies.
The slushies.
Yeah.
That looked really good, though. It did. To be honest.
It did. As a kid, you're like.
That slushie looked very refreshing.
Nothing like 90s CGI slushie to make you want something delicious.
That's the most attractive.
The best insult from that entire thing was one of the French peas yelling from the top to Larry the Cucumber, who's playing Joshua, you are not a mighty dill, you are just a baby gherkin.
Oh yeah.
And that was my dad had to explain that to me, and then I found it so funny every time.
You know what I just realized, guys? I just realized this. Was that like paying respect to Monty Python when there were the French dudes on top of the wall? Like, have you guys seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Wow, yeah.
Is that just a total reference to that?
I feel like it is.
Guys, VeggieTales was secretly feeding us Monty Python. And that's bad. That's a bad influence.
I feel like VeggieTales was, dang, they were ahead of their time. They truly were.
And then they got sold, and now it is just terrible.
Yeah, as soon as they did Pinocchio.
What were we talking about?
I don't remember. Anthony. Anthony. Oh, right. It was too soon, sooner than you thought. It's like going to 7.
Oh, right.
What was your favorite state to drive through? Was it Nebraska?
Ooh.
I bet it was Nebraska. It probably was because, you know, just corn for days.
My favorite actually, if I'm being serious, it was probably Utah.
Nice.
Yeah. Because just, you know, all the mesas.
Because he's
plateaus.
A secret Mormon.
Utah, because it was my home. I'm actually a Mormon. No, like it was I forgot how I don't go to Utah. That's not just a place where I go. And it was really it's really cool. All the plateaus and it was cool kinda. I didn't go by the Grand Canyon, but I saw some other canyons that are not as famous, then you wouldn't know their names because they're not, well maybe Jesse would because he cares about stuff like that.
Not as Grand Canyon.
Exactly. Not as Grand Canyons. So yeah, that's been part one. And then part two of crazy transitions in my life is I'm actually in the middle of a divorce with my wife. And that's kind of been the last kind of 12 months of my life, is kind of her and I working together and just like through a lot of conversations, kind of getting to that point finally there in the end of May where we're like, okay, I think this is what's happening. So yeah, it's been a heavy year.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. I mean, I know part of, and for anybody who's listening, that's part of the reason why our podcast has been so AWOL and non-existent, because Sean and Eric had children, and then this was happening in Anthony's life. And I was,
what were you doing again, Jesse?
Sleeping.
Okay. Yeah.
For days. So
he's playing Age of Empires.
Yeah. That's,
while watching
that's my
Office.
Favorite, one of my favorite games.
While watching Lord of the Rings.
Oh gosh.
While eating Sour Patch Kids.
Outing my college years. but yeah, Anthony, I know that that's been a huge thing in your life and just crazy, but I also know that, and I know you know, we don't want to go into the detail about everything there, but I know that it's been a journey from darkness into light, to a certain degree. You know, of course it's not done, but,
yeah.
Do you want to expound on that at all?
I feel like for me, it's definitely been a journey of darkness into light. It's probably been the hardest year of my life. Like literally had no idea how to navigate really surreal like experience, like something I never thought, Abby and I both like never thought would happen, never expected to happen, never, you know, and you know, you just are never taught, you know, what to do. Like, here's how to navigate a divorce, you know, like, you know, like just all the emotions processing. And there are probably times where I didn't leave the house for like a week, 2 weeks at a time, maybe, and just like was in bed the whole time, like never left my bed except, and just like walked around the house in my undies eating like cereal without milk. Like that was the level.
Wow. That's
what was the,
yeah, if anything really showed the level of darkness, it wasn't leaving your house, it was eating cereal without milk.
Exactly.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, that's when you know that it's rough.
Yeah.
Is when you know. Yeah. So yeah, it's been, those first few months were probably the hardest. And I mean, all three of you guys, in case anyone didn't know, we're all actually really good friends in real life, even though on the podcast we're complete and utter hooligans. And I just have so much thankfulness for these guys. And I'm just grateful for such an awesome, solid support system of friends, because so many times I text you guys 2 a.m, like I don't think I'm going to make it through this. And you guys have just always been there throughout this whole process. So I appreciate you guys. A moment of seriousness just to say, like, I love you guys. And it's been nuts. It's been wild. As Bronson would say, it's been nuts. Bronson's another friend of ours, who also recently just had a son. Yeah, so it's definitely been a journey from darkness into light. I would say the past couple months have been a lot better. Like, since making that final decision, it actually has been a lot better. Like, it's been like a sigh of relief. It's been like, okay, we have a direction. We know what we're doing. And then as time has gone on, it's just been a slow climb upward, and God has just been so good and so faithful and just redeeming and restoring me back to health. And yeah, it's been a slow journey. I'm not there yet. Like, I'm not at 100%, but I'm not at, you know, 5% like I was in January. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing though, man. I know that there are other people who have gone through that. And I'm sure, like, even though a lot of us have been there for you through this journey, I'm sure that there is just a sense of like aloneness that comes from it, because no one else can really understand unless they've been through it.
I think it's probably been the most isolating thing I've ever experienced, the most lonely thing I've ever experienced. And even though I do have such an awesome support system, you guys and other friends, and Pastor Chris Oberg at La Salle University Church has been awesome, but at the same time, it's just the most isolating thing. Like, you're just not sure who to talk to about it, you're not sure who to share with. It's like, and it's such a weird life shit. Like, I honestly could talk about this for a long time, but for 140 minutes. I won't.
We're not keeping any of this.
Got it. We're going to cut all this out. What if you did? That would be I feel like I would be more just impressed than hurt.
Like Eric will clip it together, like we talk about, like, you know, you're divorced, yeah, and Eric will just clip it like, yeah, it's been great and I'm doing fine.
It'll just be like, it's been great, and it'll be like those, like, President Obama
just
Rickroll
pieced together, like newspaper clippings on a paper,
yeah,
a piece of, like, newspaper letters.
Yeah. I'll just sound like the mail.
It's funny
because
you guys think this is a joke.
But he's actually going to do it. I appreciate you, Eric. Thanks. Love you.
Love you too.
I guess maybe the final thing I'll say is it's like a shift in the way that you live totally. Like, it's a whole way, yeah, of life shift. So, like, you get used to being together with a person, and Abby and I were together for 7 years. So you just get used to a way of life as a couple, as a community, as a unit. And then when that's no longer there, it's just really jarring and like weird to, like, try and navigate things as an individual again.
Well, I'm proud of you for the way that you've handled it, man. But yeah, speaking of really hard things, transitions from this, like, you know, transitioning from this topic to the next thing.
There's no easy.
It's pretty
way.
Hard. So,
I mean, we just did it, so.
So yeah, that was a transition, and now we're going to talk about other things.
I wanted to pose a similar question to you guys. How are you guys? How is your hearts?
Yeah.
How are you spiritually? How are you emotionally? How are you sexually? How are you? You don't have to answer that last one.
That's
ambiguous.
That was the specific question I wanted to answer.
Okay,
so,
got it.
Yeah.
I thought you would. We're, you know.
I can say this just real quick. Yeah. I think the last 3 or 4 months, and really the last 2 years, but really the last 3 or 4 months, have been probably the time of the greatest growth in my relationship with God that I've ever experienced.
Wow.
Ever. It's been incredible to go from, I think, a lot of stuff in my past, and that sounds ambiguous, but what I really mean is that you're just taught things growing up that you don't realize affect you, and that you, like, bring it into adulthood. So simple things like you're taught that you know, devotion, like your relationship with God is had through devotions. So you have to read your Bible, read a chapter of your Bible, and pray, and
or a faithful hour every morning.
Yeah, and that became a weight on me, I think, and a thing where I guess I would feel like I didn't have a relationship with God if I didn't do that, and therefore then I would feel shame or frustration for not wanting to do it, and, you know, eventually feel like I didn't, you know, there was no power. I couldn't do anything, especially as a pastor. Like, mm-hmm. How could I ever do anything today? Because I haven't prayed. I haven't read my Bible. And then just a long story short, and something I really want to talk about in a later episode, but a long story short is that God has just been freeing me from a lot of that and showing me his kindness and his compassion, his mercy towards me in a more real way than just an intellectual belief. And so it's been powerful, and it's been this really awesome time of growth. And so I'm really excited. But now what's crazy is I've been reading a lot of books and experiencing this, and now I have to figure out a way to talk about this we're doing like a 10-week series for our small groups, and it's just going to be insane. So yeah, but that's where I'm at with God. So it's been good.
Nice.
How about you, Sean?
I would say it's definitely changed since being a parent, but also just combined with, you know, everything, right? So,
all of the things.
It's the everything room. One day we'll explain that. We don't have time to explain that right now. But I think what it really comes down to is, there's a lot of things I'm involved in when it comes to church, with school. I'm a Bible teacher, but I also lead Bible studies at my church, and we're working on a lot of cool things at our church. So it's up and down where there'll be times where that will sync up with my personal relationship with God, if that makes sense. But there's other times where you go on pilot mode where you're doing these things that are spiritual and everything, but it doesn't always connect with your personal devotions. Mm-hmm. There'll be times where...
Do you mean autopilot mode?
Did I say...
Yeah. A pilot would be controlling it. An auto
pilot mode. Yes, I apologize. Automatic pilot mode.
Amazing.
It's a weird thing where there's just times you get so busy, and right now it's just been a season of life where it's been a longer stretch than normal, where there'll still be glimpses of being refreshed or revived and having those reminders of God in your own personal devotions. But I would say that it's been more busy, and I'm still very active in all these different things, and that's good, but I have to remind myself to step back once in a while and actually just remember to feed myself with my connection with God. And that is very easy to forget. It's very easy to put on the back burner when you have all these things going. But that's something I've been learning to work with.
As a pastor, I have a special connection with God, and he's just telling me right now that he's very displeased with you and is just, you know, very angry. So I would change all of that right now.
Sean's
wearing a vegan club baseball hat.
He is.
I would say he's at like rock bottom right now.
He's in the
spiritually speaking.
He is walking in the light right now. Eric.
Eric.
What about you, man?
How about you?
I mean, right now it's weird when you have a child and you're like a new father, you feel like I need to be more like spiritually in shape so that I can guide my child in, like, you know, towards God and in wisdom.
Yeah.
So, but also at the same time, you're even more busy than you were before when you have a child. So it's like, it's been a little challenging on, like, you know, my personal relationship with God. But I feel like God and I are solid, but I've been kind of ignoring him a lot of the time too. So
yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, like in marriage where, you know, you and your wife have a great relationship, but you've been ignoring her. You know, that's the kind of the hallmark of a great relationship with someone. So on that note, we have some new stuff coming up this second season, in essence.
We do season two.
We've already recorded a podcast with somebody about Revelation. We want to record a couple more about Revelation. We have a couple of guests that we want to have on the show. But then, yeah, we want to have more conversations. One that I'm particularly interested in having is one on the intellectualism of Seventh-day Adventism and how we have, in essence, equated belief in God to being this intellectual idea as opposed to an emotional reality that we experience as in a relationship. And I'm sure there's other stuff that we want to talk about and go over, but anything you guys are excited to talk about this season?
We do want to continue the Bad Explanation series. I mean, we call it a series, but it's only had, what, two episodes so far, so we got to justify calling
that two or three.
Have we done three? I don't remember if
I
we
forget.
Actually have released.
I think we've put out two.
We've had ideas for more.
We know nothing about our own podcast.
It's more like a genre of episode.
Yeah.
than a series.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But, well, we've got other ideas for Bad Explanations, and I think we talked about Sabbath. Like, we want to just look at the idea of Sabbath, like, what are we supposed to do on Sabbath, or just like, you know,
Sabbath is actually supposed to be on Sunday.
Yeah, what is it?
And
got him. That was our bait and switch right there. The whole podcast was just to get to that. Like Sean mentioned, I'm really stoked to continue Bad Explanations. I know a lot of you guys have listening who have talked to me either through, you know, sent me a text or message or just talked to me in person, said, like, would love it if we continued Bad Explanations. So we definitely intend to. We would love to talk about, like, music and alcohol and, there's just a bunch of topics. I'm also stoked for the Revelation one. We already did one of those, like Jesse said. And there's just a bunch. Like, would love to talk about evangelism. I think I would definitely enjoy that. Like, just talk about the different forms of evangelism. Is our evangelism effective? Are we even asking the questions that people, are we even answering the questions that people are asking at every level? Like, you know, whether that's public evangelism, local church evangelism, pathfinders, Adventist academies, like, we've talked about doing that. So, yeah. And I'm also excited, like Jesse said, just to have some more lighthearted, less structured conversations about different topics.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Eric, I mean, you can join us this season. We will have you simply because, you know, we feel bad for you. But, I mean, is there anything that you are particularly interested in talking about?
Thank you, Jesse. I'm excited to talk more about how we do church is an interesting topic to discuss. And also, I'm a filmmaker, and I'd love to talk about media and film and how we approach that in the church or ministry, or don't approach it.
Yeah.
So, that's a good point.
I'm really stoked to do like a whole like dating within like Adventist dating culture, marriage, stuff like that. Even as a divorced person, I would love to talk about that. And I think it'd be great.
Awesome.
What Anthony's trying to say is he's back on the market. So you should.
Exactly. Ladies.
He needs some dating advice.
Just shoot the DMs to the Seeking What They Sought Instagram. And that's where you will all
be. We're just going to put on the photos right under your picture. Yep. We're just going to put a
single.
Like a DM specifically, not regarding anything else for the podcast, just specifically for Anthony.
Link to his Tinder profile.
Anthony's in seminary and he needs a wife before 2021. That's not
beautiful.
I hope everyone knows this is a joke. That I'm not even close to.
If you don't, then why are you listening?
Everything we've said has been serious. I don't know what you're talking about. Literally every single thing.
Oh my word.
Just like this. I hate Sean. Okay, cool.
Yeah, okay, love you too.
So we're gonna have a fun season. We're glad you guys are listening. We appreciate you guys being part of the conversation. And thank you.
Alright guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Like I said at the beginning, we have so much in store for you guys for season 2. We're super, super excited. Thank you for sticking with us. I want to thank our 17-time Pulitzer Prize winning producer, Eric Edstrom, as usual, for all of his beautiful work. We love him so much, and we're so glad he's joining us for a few episodes this season. Alright, we will catch you next time on Seeking What They Sought.